it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We all we got right now. We all we need. We can do this.
Getting you ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Opening day of the 2025 Falcons season. We're broadcasting live from the Steel Bridge, Centennial Yards, the bridge over Centennial Yards. So if you're down on this side of the tailgate, come by and see us. We'll be here till 11 o'clock. Good morning to you, Joe. Patrick, how
it is,
are you?
It is a great, great morning. It always is on the opening Sunday of the NFL season. And we have, you know, beautiful weather out here, not
yeah,
a cloud
it is
in the
really
sky.
Nice.
We've got a nice view of the downtown skyline here from the Centennial Bridge over Centennial Yard. So it's a beautiful Sunday morning, Andy.
It really is. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't been down this side of the stadium in a little while. I think even if you had been here last week, it probably you would notice the difference
because yeah.
There's a lot of stuff changing down here. Obviously, Centennial Yards is undergoing a big facelift, and it's just it's going to be one extra part of all the cool places to tailgate here in the surrounding area. But that hotel wasn't here last time I was here.
No doubt. Yeah. That's
that one is where we did the show for the SEC championship.
The Reverb.
Game.
That's right.
Couple years ago, and that was new then, and obviously still relatively new and nice.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's just kind of changing. And I mean, obviously, still has the great tailgate feel down here, and you can already smell the grills going.
Oh, yeah.
down below us here at Centennial Yards. But pretty cool, man. Pretty cool to see everything kind of evolving a bit around the stadium, and happy to be here.
It's almost nostalgic to, like, when I get out of the car, I smell the lighter fluid, I smell the grills start to get going, and it reminds you of football season. It reminds you of, you know, attending games when, you know, not to say that we aren't fans now, but, you know, now that we're working the business, it reminds you of back when you were there for your leisure and just to have a good time.
I'll say this. Here's the difference between then and now for some of us. Some of us walked up to the broadcast with sport coats and dress shirts and pocket squares.
That's right.
Because
when
you go into the stadium, you have to look like a professional adult.
Yeah.
Whereas before, maybe you'd go into the stadium with some barbecue sauce stained on your shirt.
Exactly.
So a little bit different than maybe what it once was. But fun nonetheless. And like we said, we're here at the bridge over Centennial Yards. This is where we're going to be doing the Wade Ford Tailgate Show for home games. So if you are on your way to the stadium, stop by and see us. Say what's up. It is. It's going to be very, very fun out here. Like Joe said, a beautiful Sunday morning. The sun just came up over the top of that building right there, and it was nice and cool before. Now it's a little warm,
warmth,
which is nice. But it feels like football, and we're very much looking forward to what the next 17 games are going to hold. It all starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon against a divisional opponent in the Tampa Bay Bucs, a team that the Falcons beat twice last year.
Yeah.
Although they couldn't win the division, they did beat Tampa twice. Tampa went on to win the division. And, you know, we're going to learn a lot of different things today, and we'll get into as many of the things that we're hoping to learn over the next couple of hours. Where do you start? Before you've seen this team play a game, where is your mind at right now thinking about what you're hoping to learn?
Well, I've had a lot of people over the last few weeks come up to me and say, you know, how are they going to be? And you know, it's the kind of a classic question you get. And I've learned better than to say, oh, they're going to be good or they're going to be bad. What I can tell you about this Falcons, they're going to be exciting. Like this is an offense that's going to push the ball down the field. Michael Penix, that is what he wants to do. That's how he has to be successful and just how he brings value to what he does at the position. And on defense, they're going to be a defense that is not the best probably in terms of maybe even keeping points on the board or limiting yards, but they're going to be a defense that tries to create chaos, tries to create havoc, tries to get the ball back to Michael Penix for that explosive offense. So whether that's actually going to turn into a recipe that is successful and leads this team to winning the NFC South for the first time in many years is yet to be determined, but I think it's going to be certainly an entertaining product that is out on the field.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you can count on the offense being a bit more dynamic than it's been over the last handful of years. And, you know, that's with the caveat of saying there was a chunk of last season where the offense was dynamic. It took a few games to get there. And then the back half of the season, it really wasn't. But there was a part. There was a 5 to 6 game stretch where when Kirk Cousins was actually healthy and up to speed with the offense, and before he got injured and didn't tell anyone about it, that the offense looked actually quite good.
Yeah. I remember the game where they played Dallas. They beat Dallas. That was the last game before the injury occurred to Kirk Cousins the following week in New Orleans.
And that was a pretty, like,
a ho-hum, like, we're rolling.
Like,
this
an
is,
easy
this looks easy.
Double-digit victory.
Exactly, yeah.
I was like, this team, because I remember, like, there was the Tampa wins were both incredible, especially the first one, that Thursday night game where they had to the fire drill to the line to get the ball spiked to kick the field goal, and then obviously Kadarius Hodge makes that great catch for the touchdown in overtime. The second one was the Kyle Pitts game, like the game where Kyle Pitts really probably had his best performance of his career thus far.
Yeah,
those were nail biters, man.
Yeah.
Like
those
were tough fought victories.
Yeah,
that Cowboys game was like, oh, these guys are like good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously,
you know that second game of the season, that it was a big win over the Eagles, but they were very fortunate to get that win.
Definitely.
Saquon Barkley
Definitely.
Drops a pass at the end of that game that allows them to then get the opportunity to go back and drive back down the field and ultimately score and win that game. And it was one that you thought, okay, well, maybe we kind of got one back from the game that we thought we should have won on opening day, et cetera, et cetera. But it really didn't feel like, until you kind of got to that Cowboys part of the season, that game that I referenced, that you felt like, okay, this team was rolling. And then as soon as that happens, the rug is kind of pulled out from under him with the injury, and then things kind of backslide again. So, I've been telling people this with regards to the quarterback situation, especially. Michael Penix, what I've seen in this training camp is him throwing the ball and completing downfield passes. I'm talking about, like, 20-plus yard passes downfield. I've seen him complete more of those than Kirk Cousins, Desmond Ridder, and Marcus Mariota combined. Those are the three quarterbacks I've covered since I've been reporting on the Falcons here for 99 the game.
So, Bless your heart, Joe.
But that's why I say, like he is going to push the ball down the field and give these receivers opportunities to make plays. And you wonder how that also impacts, you know, Bijan Robinson. Does it give him more space to operate in some of the underneath areas and in the run game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the... For me, that's the thing that I'm most excited to see today is Michael Penix, the opening day starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, the keys to the car, as it were. I mean, it's his show. There's no question about what's going on. Is there someone waiting in the wings? Do we really believe in this guy?
Mm-hmm.
This is a top 10 first round draft pick who is the starter and has had this offense sort of built around what he can do leading into this season. That's his superpower. I mean, he's got a lot of good parts of his game, and I think we'll get to see some of the more nuanced parts of his game throughout the season. But his superpower is that arm strength and the accuracy on the downfield pass.
Yeah.
Something that, like you said, certainly hasn't been in a while. Something that you should have some tools on this offense, some players on this offense that should be able to help him exploit that a little bit.
Mm.
And something that, look, I expect to see a little bit today. The concern, the flip side of that, or the thing that you wonder about with him, is the easy throw. The throw that you have to make 90% of the time to be able to keep the offense in rhythm, that in the small sample size that we saw of him last year in those three games, he missed a bit. His completion percentage was below 60% in those three games, which you can't live like that.
Yep.
Even if you are hitting some of those deep balls, you got to make the layups, as Raheem Morris told me and Randy day one of training camp. So... And I know that he can because I've seen him do it. I mean, when he was at Washington, he was a surgeon in some of those short throws.
Yeah.
But
and I think
in the time here, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn. Like, I was kind of there was a lot of criticisms about him in those three games because over that particular kind of area of his game. And I thought – I kept reminding people, you just got to remember, like, he has not been repping with these receivers at all up to this point in the season because they wanted to treat Kirk Cousins as the quarterback one at that point and make, you know, no mistake as to, like, what their plan was at that point in time. And then as soon as they make the switch, that all flips. And now, you know, Michael Penix has had all those reps with these receivers, and so there isn't that excuse anymore, that built-in excuse. And so, yeah, he's got to show it that he can, you know, hit those receivers. But he makes the reads, though. And for me, for a young quarterback, like, I feel like you can live, especially early on in your career, with some misses here and there, like Josh Allen, we saw that early in his career. Yep. But if he's actually making the reads and at least kind of getting to those points, I think that's a really, really good sign for him and what's to come in the future. And, you know, I think the guy has just got so much to his game outside of the talent. We know the arm talent, but I think it's worth noting that, you know, we talk about that game where it felt like they were rolling against Dallas last year. One of their other few easy victories that they had last year was in Penix's first game against the Giants.
It's
and again,
Giants,
it was the Giants. You know, there was a reason they were picking near the top of the draft, but still, like Penix came in and that offense was ticking. They scored 34 points in that game, his first game in charge under center. And so I think it just goes to show you, like, he's not going to be kind of have the stage fright of going out there and kind of taking on this big stage and this mantle of being quarterback one.
No, I don't think so. He's played in a lot of big games.
He's older than Kyle Pitts.
He's 25 years old. That's the thing. I mean, he's played so much football.
Yeah.
And it's funny how the narrative has shifted on that a bit, where that was sort of a negative not long ago.
Right.
Where it's
right,
like, well, this guy's already blank years old. Yeah. Like, why did it take him so long? And now, I mean, NFL teams are openly looking for guys that have played more games in college. If you're a little bit older, not only are you maybe a little bit more mentally mature, you're also more physically developed and ready. So, yeah, like that's a part of it too. I mean, the guys, you know, we heard about Penix playing for Indiana years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, obviously Washington and all the success that he had there, and then he was been here last year, and now he's going to be the starter. I also think that there's parts of his game that you're only going to see in games. Like, they're not going to do stuff with his legs in joint practices.
Right.
They were never going to design anything like that in a preseason game. They didn't even play in preseason this year, but you were never going to see any of that either. I do think that he has, and I don't know how much they'll design run the football, but if he has to escape a little bit, or if he has to go get, it's third and eight and the, you know, the man coverage clears out and he can go pick up a dirty first down like Baker Mayfield loves to do.
Mm-hmm.
Something that the Falcons defense is going to have to be weary of today, with Baker Mayfield loving to get those dirty
for
yards.
For sure.
That's something that Penix can do.
Yeah.
So
he even showed it last year. Like even in a brief glimpse of him, you know, just three games, but we saw him kind of scrambling out to his left. And that's going to help the team so much, especially in that red zone area, especially within those 10-yard gaps, because you have to be able to exploit the horizontal areas of the field when you don't have the vertical areas. And so, and that's an area where the Falcons last year really struggled, because you didn't have Kirk Cousins and mobility to kind of get out of the pockets and utilize some of those areas. So I think Michael actually brings a lot to this offense in that sense.
One thing that I think we should be able to I think that we should see today and in the month of September that maybe we didn't really get to see last year with the Falcons offense was, it should be, and maybe I'm overly optimistic on this, you can tell me, it should be more up to speed from Jump Street than it was last year. Penix has been in this offense for a year. He's
100%.
Actually played some of the games. He's not coming off of a season-ending Achilles injury. Like, so much of what happened week one last year was predictable. Still frustrating, but incredibly predictable. Where it's like, oh, this is awful. Like,
the
guy looks immobile. You know, then you see the quarterback show and the clip of him saying, "I'm kind of uncomfortable with the offense."
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
and you had a first time play caller who's calling his first NFL game.
All of that.
Yeah,
none of that should be a part of the story today.
Right.
At least I hope it isn't, because then Monday everybody's going to be calling in yelling about them needing to play in preseason games.
Yep.
Get on the same page. Please validate the decision to not play anyone in the preseason by looking like a sharp operation week one.
No doubt.
Otherwise, you know exactly what the conversation's going to be coming out of it. It's like, oh, you guys looked rusty? Huh. If only there was a way that you could work on that.
Right, exactly. Tampa Bay didn't play that, you know, their offense in preseason either.
No, they
didn't. So there's always going to be the justification.
And most teams don't.
Either way.
Most teams don't. But nonetheless, it should be smoother from the get-go this year than it was last year. At least I hope that it will be.
It has to. Please, please God.
I hope so. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show with Andy Bunker and Smokin' Joe Patrick. We're going to be the duo for the entire year. I'm also really looking forward to that.
I am too. Yeah. I am too. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. I did this show years and years ago with Hugh Douglas for a couple of years. Me and Randy did it one season. Last time I did do the Wade Ford tailgate show as the host, they did make the playoffs.
Let's go. So, is that why Conti put you
Conti's like, all right, we got to pull out all the stops here. Enough messing around. Let's get him back in there. Maybe it'll work. I'm not guaranteeing anything, by the way. If it doesn't work out, don't
blame
me.
All right.
Me and Randy did wear tank tops on Friday, though, to try to increase the juju. I don't know how that's going to help, but maybe it will. Anyway, we're broadcasting live from the bridge over Centennial Yards. It's called the Steel Bridge as well, if
Steel
you want to plug it into your maps. You can even hear the trains running underneath us. You could smell the smoke from the grills. It's happening. NFL season is upon us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll let you hear a little bit from Raheem Morris, a little bit from Michael Penix as well, as we broadcast live on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sunday morning. Live from the Steel Bridge, the bridge over Centennial Yards. We can see Mercedes-Benz Stadium right there. You can see the Reverb Hotel. Obviously, we could see all of the fun construction, all the big things happening to Centennial Yards right up that way near State Farm.
State Farm Arena, the Bank of America building.
And a lot of the downtown skyline as well. Yep. So we're out here, man. We are on the streets, you know?
You know one of the things I love about this show, doing the 9 to 11 block, is you get to kind of see the city and the people kind of come alive.
Definitely.
You know, you see people who are a little groggy get out of their cars, but then, you see the smiles light up when the lighter fluid hits the nostrils, and you get the grills going, and you just see the hustle and bustle of the city kind of pop up during the show.
The lighter fluid really is the smelling salts of the tailgate. You just get the little waft of it, and it gets you going, gets you ready to rock. No, you love it. I mean, nine o'clock is 4 hours before kickoff. So if folks are down here at 9 o'clock, they mean business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. They had a plan,
and you're a tailgate pro. But I'm with you. It is. It's fun. You kind of see it. It kind of starts to construct around you.
Mm-hmm.
The parking lot that we are that part of this bridge goes over. The tents are popping up. Like you said, you can see the smoke wafting up from the grill, all of that.
Yeah, we're kind of in a perfect spot because we have tailgaters right underneath us on this bridge that we're at. So we get all the nice aromas just coming up our way.
It is. It almost feels like we're, perched as, like kings of the tailgate, We're looking down over our tailgating kingdom.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if you are coming down, swing by and say what's up. We are broadcasting live from the Steel Bridge, the bridge over the Centennial Yard, and you can come by and see us. We'll be here every single Sunday. Well, I guess not all the home games are Sundays, but
that's right.
You know what I mean. Every single home game, we will be here 4 hours before kickoff, leading you into the Falcons pregame show right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do want to let you know that the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score. Me and Joe can't. We wish we could, but we can't. But you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle and bring home the W. All right, so you told me we talked too much football in the first segment.
I mean, we were really breaking it down.
I know.
Breaking down the X's and O's.
Here's the reality.
People are just waking up, Andy.
Here's the reality for me. We've spent, and this is true every year, and I love it. I'm not complaining. We've spent so much time since the last day of the season last year.
Exactly.
And then the draft, and then the summer, and then training camp. And then the thing about training camp is you spend so much time getting ready for training camp, and then the open practices are done like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't even been able to see these guys practice, let alone play in a preseason game, in almost a month.
Right.
So you get all ramped up for that, and then that kind of ends. and then you got to wait. So I've been waiting for this day for so long.
I know. We need actual, like, data points. You know, like, we need actual things to reference of this current team to go off of as we, you know, analyze. You can only do so much analysis over, you know, the theoretical or the academic talking points with regards to, like, how these guys could contribute or what's going to happen. We don't know, but we're at least going to get some evidence of it today.
Well, I think you're probably like this as well. I know me and Randy very much on our show, like, you know, you have to repeat yourself sometimes. You have to. There's only so many different things you could say about a team that you haven't seen play yet.
Yeah.
But we really hate to repeat ourselves. So the amount of different ways that I've said the same thing over the last 3 months, it's going to be really nice to say new stuff Monday, because something's actually going to happen today. Hopefully a bunch of positive stuff happens today, and we'll have a fun show on Monday to talk about. But, yeah, man, I mean, there's only so many different that's why – I think people reacted the way they did, and not to say that it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal when one of your starters get hurt. But I think that's why the story of Caleb McGarry going down was covered the way that it was, because it was the first, like, legitimately newsworthy thing that happened in all of training camp.
That affects the team.
Yeah, the only thing that really happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
other things happened, but only, you know, few things happen that are going to, like, tangibly impact the team that you can start to, like, again, reanalyze and break down and kind of, you know, put the pieces together in this kind of academic way like we tend to do before the games actually start being played. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see the team get out there, hit the field, and, you know, that's the other thing about preseason is, you know, since this team is not playing their starters, especially the offense in preseason, it's frustrating as a football fan when you feel like everything is there about a football game, but then you realize once it starts, it's a glorified training session. And finally today, we get to see the actual players go out there and play to the greatest extent possible.
Not only that, they'll get to play in front of the home crowd. Raheem Morris earlier this week talked about all kinds of different stuff. We'll get to what he said about Tampa Bay's offense in just a minute. But here's Coach talking about the crowd.
Forget everybody else's home field advantage. I'm loving ours. You know, I can't wait to see the Dirty Bird section. I can't wait to see the excitement. You know, this game, you know, these games last year were pretty exciting. You know, whether you're talking about our game on Thursday night, which was really exciting. You know, watch Ice go into the Ring of Honor, watch Kurt break a franchise record. You know, watch this team get a walk-off win on Thursday night football. One of the games we made you all step for, right? And then we got a chance to do it again at their place, and it was just exciting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it as well. I mean, just as much as we have been going back and forth with the storylines and what's going to look like and who's going to do what, fans have too. I mean, people are chomping at the bit for this football game to kick off at 1 o'clock, and I know that the atmosphere inside that building will be excellent at kickoff today.
Right.
Now it's on the players to make sure that that's true for the rest of the home games as well.
Right.
And the fans too, but I'm not one that likes to sit here and, like, pep rally for fans. Fans know what to do.
Sure.
And if the team plays good, they will.
Yeah.
But it'll be great today, and hopefully they can use that to their advantage.
And about Raheem talking about it, you know, just being exciting and everything, there's, like, a broader point to this where we've been able to see now two NFL games so far to the start of the season. And they're both, like, these, like, nail-biting games. And it's the thing that reminds you about why the NFL is so good. Because, you know, you see college, and it's great to have that pageantry back and everything. But how many truly good games have we seen through 2 weeks of college? There hasn't been that many that
Your
I can think
favorite
of off the top
college
of my head.
Team scored 70 points yesterday and gave up zero.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite college team also scored 70 points yesterday and gave up 10.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the NFL, except for that one time the Dolphins scored 70.
Yeah,
remember that?
That cursed them forever, by the way.
Yeah, they've never been the same since.
Yeah, they've been all.
Remember Mike McDaniel? That was against Denver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Russell Wilson. And everyone's like, oh, my God, Mike McDaniel's a genius.
Yep.
And it's been pretty much a disaster ever since then. But anyway, yes.
But in the NFL, like, everything's a nail-biter.
It's
so exciting. And, that you know, these teams are so evenly matched. Even if your team stinks, they're, like, relatively way better than, like, a college football team that stinks. And so that's what's so exciting about these games, is that you can show up to the stadium and you don't know what's going to happen, other than that you know that you're almost always going to get a good football game to watch.
Yeah, and last year when these two teams got together, two great football games were played.
Incredible.
Falcons won both of them. Hopefully that trend can continue today. One thing that they're going to have to do is a very young, inexperienced, like, almost half rookie. And if you want to be honest about what Dorlis and Arororo and some of these guys are, those guys kind of are rookies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a half rookie defense. Mm-hmm. Is going to have to go out there and find a way to get stops against a really veteran, experienced Tampa Bay offense. Here's Raheem Morris talking about that Bucs offense.
I mean, an unbelievable test. You know, you talk about Baker, the knowledge he has, the amount of experience he has on different teams and everything that he's done in this league. It's been impressive, particularly within the last couple of years. Whether you're talking about the three-game trip to LA with us, or going to Tampa and really taking over there, in an impossible situation, following Tom Brady, being able to maintain the success, so much experience there.
They got a lot of weapons on that side of the ball,
yeah,
for sure. Now.
Yeah.
Not all of them are going to be there.
I was going to say, yeah.
Tristan Wirfs won't be at left tackle, which is a huge deal, and hopefully will help some of those young pass rushers of the Falcons. No Chris Godwin either. Now, they still have Mike Evans, who's mm-hmm. going to get you 1,000 yards every mm-hmm. single year.
Mm-hmm.
Emeka Abuka, who obviously you rooted for in college and
I
got
did.
To see him play a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
Rave reviews throughout yeah. training camp and preseason yeah. for him, no surprise. And they got a nice tandem of running backs
yeah.
as well
yeah.
that last year gave the Falcons a lot of trouble, especially in that second game.
In particular, Bucky Irving. Yeah. I remember last year he was a rookie and he wasn't really getting that much playing time yet when the Falcons were playing the Bucs. And I can't remember which, it may have been Raheem Morris or maybe it was the defensive coordinator at the time, Jimmy Lake, but I remember them saying, like, you look at Bucky Irving and he jumps off the tape at you. And that tells you when you're a rookie and you're not really getting playing time, but there's a little bit of tape and the coaches are already saying those kinds of things. That speaks to a talented back, and I think that he's going to be – the way that he's able to perform or not is going to be very telling as to how effective the Falcons are going to be in this game. Because if Bucky Irving is going and he's picking up first downs and the Falcons' defense is having to kind of chase him down, it's going to be very tough for this Falcons' offense then to get that rhythm going. So, but if they can shut him down, you know, the options for Baker Mayfield are more limited in this game. Like you said, some of the injuries, Jalen McMillan also going to be out of this game for the Buccaneers. And it's kind of funny, for as much as the injuries have been a storyline for the Falcons with regards to Caleb McGarry and some of those instances, or some of those players, Darnell Mooney, another one, and we'll get into the injury report a little bit later. It's way worse for the Buccaneers coming
oh, yeah.
into this game.
Definitely.
So at least the Falcons have that going for them.
Also, I don't know how much this matters, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning to me. Michael Penix 3-0 in college against Bucky Irving at Washington.
Nice.
Beating Oregon.
That's a good omen. That's a good omen.
All three times.
Can I say,
including in the Pac-12 championship.
There's a conversation about, you know, this Buccaneers team, and they've kind of owned this division for the better part of like a half decade, last handful of years. And, you know, I look at all these, you know, the pundits this time of year making their predictions and things, what's going to happen in the NFL, and the Buccaneers are just like written in pen, like, oh yeah, Buccaneers, you know, they're NFC South champs. They're gonna run it again. The Falcons have beaten them three of the last four times they've played. The one loss they had, the Falcons had a lead with 90 seconds left in that game. Baker Mayfield led an incredible drive at the end of the game. Ultimately, the Buccaneers have been a more consistent team over the course of the season. That's what the Falcons really need to develop. And I think it kind of underlines, like, on a more overarching point with this Falcons team, they're very talented at the top, but they don't – the depth of the team underneath yeah. those talented pieces – our question, and that's what leads that consistency that you have to have over the course of a season to make the playoffs.
The other thing about the Falcons over the last handful of years is they've kind of started slow and also finished slow.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the year, they tend to find their stride and
yep.
play some decent football, but okay, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, let's don't start slow, ideally,
yep.
And the best teams finish strong. Like, you're playing your best football in December, and then you parlay that into the playoffs and hopefully go on a run. Obviously, the Falcons haven't done that. I have been intrigued by the shift in the way that people have talked about the Bucs coming into this season, like you were saying, because over the last couple of years, it has felt, the NFC South has felt like it's been discussed as a toss-up. Like, it could be anybody's division between Atlanta, Tampa. It's not a good division.
Mm-hmm.
Should be able to win the division. Last year's thing was outrun the South and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Leading into this year, so many people are talking about the Bucs as sort of the presumptive favorite. And I've even heard some folks talk about the Bucs as sort of like a sleeper, like a dark horse potential NFC championship team.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I don't see them as all that different than they've been.
I agree.
They're a bit more known because mm-hmm. Baker's been there for a couple years and played well. But, I mean, Baker played well last year. and the Falcons still beat them both times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm on the same wavelength as far as that goes. I asked, I think, Mark Schlereth on Wednesday. I was like, why are people talking about the Bucs so different this year than they did in the past? What's different?
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't really think anything's different other than they know him better and people don't trust the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. They just can become more of a household name because they've been on the playoffs in on national TV and such. But, you know, they're now going on their third offensive coordinator in 3 years. Now, the reason is because these coaches keep getting head coaching jobs and keep getting hired. But at some point, that luck's got to run out, I feel like. Like you can only get so fortunate with your offensive coordinators.
What's
but they do have a lot
name?
Of continuity with the players
Mike
on that side.
Mike Grizzard?
I don't even know who.
Something
yeah,
like
I think
that.
That's right. Yeah.
I do believe the same interview, because that came up, too, when we were talking to Schlereth. He called him Buster McThunderpants. I don't know why he called him that.
Wow.
But that's what he called
him. I would love to be called that.
I mean, do you want me to call you that?
Something like that. We got to come up with some sort of name.
I don't know. Okay. We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. It's good. Second segment of the year. We've made it awkward.
You
I
got
like
the bunky
it.
Pants.
That's true. Bunky McBunky Pants. I actually accidentally got that on my Costco card. I'll show
Did
it
you
to
really?
You. Well, it said nickname. I didn't know it meant Andy. So it says Andy Bunky Pants on my Costco card. True story. All right, we'll come back. We're going to take a look at some of the rest of the games around the NFL. We will let you hear from Michael Penix as well. We didn't get to that Michael Penix clip. We'll get to that on the other side as we're broadcasting live from the Steel Bridge, the bridge over Centennial Yards, the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Opening day of the 2025 Atlanta Falcons NFL season. I can't say opening day of the NFL season because there's already been a couple of games played.
That's right.
This week, Joe. There was a game on Thursday night, which started maybe not great, not the way that you want the NFL season to start. If it's okay with you, I feel like that topic has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to talk about spit game.
We saw another one last night.
In a college game. Yeah. I saw people tweeting about it. I didn't see it. What was it? Was it
a Florida guy? Did
was it worse?
The South Florida. He got his money's worth. Oh yeah, it was worse.
Really?
It was way worse.
Goodness
it was,
gracious.
At least there was more substance.
Oh really?
Directed
more
in,
volume.
Yes.
Exactly. Where did he hit him?
There was like a huge cloud of that came out. And,
okay. So it was more of a spray.
But there was like a central point where there was a solid.
Because that is and again I'm not advocating for spitting, especially not on other people unless they ask. But Jalen Carter's spit was very solid.
Yeah.
It was like one solid.
Yeah,
that was a loogie.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That probably lived there on the
right,
on the jersey
exactly.
for a minute, which is pretty gross.
You gotta wipe that off.
Yeah,
it's funny. Like I've only ever I'm a soccer fan, and I'd only ever seen it in soccer, until recently.
I remember famously when I was a kid, Roberto Alomar spat in the face of an umpire.
Mm.
And it was like a huge deal. I think he was kept out of the Hall of Fame for a while because of that. Like, people were really and I get it. Spitting on another person is like one of the highest forms of
so
disrespect.
Degrading.
Like, it's awful.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't do it. It's terrible. But I do remember being a little bit like, that's why you guys are keeping him out of the Hall of Fame? Like, I mean, I guess I kind of understand the high and mighty stance of
the baseball writers,
the anti-steroid people, I guess, even though who cares about that, too. But, like, I mean, hey, all right. It's not great he's bad on that umpire, but everything else, he's pretty good for a long time.
It was actually pretty impressive that the Eagles still won that game, considering you lose one of your best defensive linemen. And then there was a linebacker, I forget who else, was hurt on that opening kickoff. Yeah. So when you lose players like that for the game in an NFL game, you got to remember, like, they don't have that many players that are, like, dressed and ready to go.
Well,
so
not only lose a guy, but lose a guy that Dallas game planned to try to stop.
Right.
Like, that's the biggest circle on the board in Jalen Carter, and before the game starts, they're like, oh, great. Well, we're just going to run right there. It's amazing that they were still able to win that game. We'll get to that, as well as all of the other games that we have time to get to in this segment when we take a look around the NFL. Our look around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield. Better pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com. Before we do that, though, let's finish up some of our Falcons audio and let you hear just a little bit from quarterback Michael Penix talking about the difference between last year and this year for him.
I want to say it's not too much different. The biggest difference is the reps. You know, if you're not starting, you don't get the reps out there. You know, it's just basically all mental reps. You know, you just got to take those different reps. But that's the biggest difference. As far as, like, my preparation, you know how I go about each and every day, you know, that kind of stay the same. It's just the reps that you get on field. The live reps that you get on field is different.
And this is exactly what we were talking about earlier in the show with regards to what he was last year in those three games when he was not getting those reps all throughout the training camp and season until literally the Wednesday practice of week 16. And now he's had not just 6 weeks to throw with these guys, he's been throwing with them in the offseason. I asked Darnell Mooney about this. He was out there in California with Drake London. Some of the other guys, Michael Penix, went out there to throw with them. So they've been doing all this kinds of stuff in the offseason. Then they get together with the coaches and do it in OTAs and training camp. So there's so much more volume of work that Penix has been able to put in with these guys versus what he had when he came in last year. I think that should speak to some good things for him.
Definitely. I think that – I know he's going to downplay it. That's not that different. No, I mean, getting reps with the guys that you're going to be throwing it to in the NFL game is a big deal. It just is.
Yeah.
Like, throwing the ball more to Drake London. I remember we talked to Darnell Mooney at one point last year. It may have been early in this. No, it wouldn't have been. We wouldn't ask him about it during the season. It had to be training camp. It was like, hey, what's it like catching a ball from a lefty? He said, I don't
right.
know. I'm not sure.
Right.
Like, well, what do you mean? It's like, I haven't caught a ball from Penix yet.
Yeah.
He's second team. Like, oh, right. Okay. That makes sense. So by the time he got in that game in December against the Giants, I don't know how many passes he had thrown to him at that point. Probably not very many. And I think just to get back to something that we talked about with Penix, if there's, I don't know if it's a concern, but it's just something that you're looking to see today and early in the season, is hitting those quick, high-percentage, momentum-building throws.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff that gets built in it with those reps, with those practice reps. It's like, you know exactly the way the guy is going to run that route. He knows exactly the way Penix is going to deliver the ball. You saw it in real time last year with that Drake London touchdown pass where I think it was against – oh, I don't know. It was either in the last game of the year or the second-to-last game of the year. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He kind of overthrew him on the
Washington
in the corner.
Yeah, babe. Yep.
Next play.
Yeah.
Made the throw
Sorry,
better.
That was Carolina.
That's right.
Yep.
The very
right
next
the end,
play,
half,
he threw it. The first one was just a little high, whatever. Like he probably threw it how he meant to, but whatever. And then he's like, oh, Drake likes it like this.
They went back in the hole. They go, all right, same play. Ready, break.
Same play. I'm just going to do it like this.
Yeah.
And then he did it. It was a touchdown. So, like, in real time, you saw what those reps meant.
Yeah.
Now they have an entire offseason and a training camp of that.
And to your point, I mean, listen, I get it why Penix answered that question, because it was about him. Like how's it different for you?
Of course.
I think, to your point, it's important for the receivers to have caught passes from him, especially because of the left-handed nature of it. And by the way, I think that, you know, when we talk about, like, what's different about a lefty and you hear about the lefty spin, I don't think, and just being able to talk to the players, I mean, it's kind of about the spin, it's kind of not. It's actually about the way that the ball's spinning and the way the ball's angled coming out of the left hand and the way that that makes the ball tail. Like, guys are used to a right-handed because of the way that the ball tail. The ball's naturally going to have some sort of angle where it's not coming on completely straight, and it's going to kind of drift the further the ball goes down the field. It's going to kind of, like a golf ball or something, it's just going to have a little bit of of drift to it.
Maybe,
and so
fades that way.
So it's just the opposite, obviously, for a lefty, and you just have to be able to adjust your routes and whatever that way.
If you ever want to get an excellent and hilarious answer on catching passes from a lefty, ask Randy about it.
Okay.
Because he did in college. David Green was his quarterback in college for a year. Ask him. He won't ask him off the air so he can cuss about it.
Okay.
Just catch the blanking ball. It's your job. Doesn't matter how it's spinning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of the short stuff too, I feel like Penix has been maybe criticized in the media, or maybe it's more of just like an unknown. But I feel like it's been more of a criticism, especially in the draft lead-in process, that he doesn't have all these like interesting quote unquote like arm angles, arm slots that you see Patrick Mahomes and these kinds of guys be able to do.
Huh.
And I kind of think that he has more to that game than what he gets criticized for. He has played baseball like as a kid, like he's familiar with that. Zach Robinson has said like he can definitely do that stuff. And you do have to be able to change some of those arm angles specifically for the quick game passing stuff when you're just trying to get the ball out quick, especially from a shotgun snap. So that's going to be important for him, but I think he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, and people know this because you've seen him throw it, he does have sort of a unique motion to get to the throw, sort of almost it's a little looping, kind of brings the ball down before it's all very quick, and he gets the ball out of his hands really quickly. But he does have a bit of a, I don't know if it's unorthodox, unique is probably the right word for it, just because it looks a little bit different when he does it than when other people do it. But I'll say this, when the ball comes off his fingertips, it's moving. And it's pretty, too.
If you look at his hands, like he's got these like extremely long fingers. It's like Edward Scissorhands. And I feel like it just lets him just like spin the football like crazy. Like there's just an insane amount of spin. And that's what you hear them say. He spins it. He spins the ball. And that's why he's able to throw these freaking darts down the field.
Again, not to ever try to compare anything I've ever done to anything that these guys are trying to do. But I worked throughout the years with a couple of guys that played quarterback in the NFL. And, like, you go play catch with them, and it's just like, Jesus, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What is that? Like, the ball's hissing at you when it's coming.
Like, calm down.
Yeah, stop. Why are you throwing it like that, man? It's not a tryout. Like, they're not watching anymore, man. You had a great career. You don't have to do that anymore. And they're probably not even trying. It's just different than when my brother throws it or whatever. All right, let's talk about some of these other games. Two of them have already happened. Obviously, there's some other really fun games coming up today as well. Cowboys and Eagles went down on Thursday night. Eagles got the banner hung and went out and won the game, too. And I'll say this. I went to bed at the lightning delay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I
did.
You missed absolutely
nothing.
Because I missed nothing.
The
two and a half quarters of that game were awesome.
These teams were literally scoring on every single possession that they had up until they weren't.
Yep.
And then once they stopped scoring, they literally stopped scoring for the rest of the game. It looked like at one point like both teams were going to be in the 40s.
That was awesome. It was great.
It was great.
And then I think Miles Sanders fumbles on that drive. It was the first non-scoring drive of the game. And then that was that.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, all right, 24-20. Eagles win a close one, like you said. All of them are. And then the Chargers get off to a really nice start on Friday night. It looked like it was going to be another one of those classic Chiefs games from last year where they just kind of play okay, make some mistakes, and then let Patrick Mahomes save them at the end. Turns out it was Justin Herbert doing the saving, and what a performance from him. A guy who has shown, I won't say flashes, I think he's shown steady periods of elite quarterback play, maybe never put together an entire season of it. That was a really, really well-played game by him on Friday.
He's been beset by injuries quite a bit, and you just hope that a quarterback that's as talented as he is can stay healthy. But I thought it was interesting the Chargers kind of airing the ball out a little bit more in this game, not really going to that Jim Harbaugh ground-and-pound game like we're so used to seeing, and clearly paid dividends for them. And you're right, it felt like when you're watching the game, it felt like, I know this script.
The
Chiefs kind of play average, and they sneak away with the win somehow at the end, and, Chargers flip the script on them.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's amazing how often they were able to do that last year to a 15-2 record and make it all the way to the Super Bowl. But we watched them, right? I mean, they weren't the same Chiefs that they had been in years past. Now, again, that still led to a near Super Bowl trophy for the third consecutive year. But I don't know, man. The margin seems to have gotten a lot slimmer for them over the last handful of seasons.
And that AFC is so brutal when you talk about the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
Just their division, the coaches that are in that division.
Yeah.
And they're all going to the Hall of Fame, one way or the other.
Yeah, seriously.
Not a Harbaugh, but the College Football Hall of Fame probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a tough road. They still have Patrick Mahomes, so I think that they'll probably be okay. But they weren't on Friday night. All right, some of the other big games today. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to this on Sunday night. I think everybody is. The Ravens and the Bills,
huge.
Sunday Night Football, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, last two MVPs squaring off in the opening game, and obviously both of those guys and both of those teams have higher goals than just winning the game tonight.
Right.
But winning the game tonight against a team like that would be a great start for the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's always just fun as a football fan to be able to just see quarterback play at that level, you know, when you see two of the best go at it head-to-head. It's just fun to watch, and especially in prime time, the eyes of the nation will be upon them.
Here's what will make that game a lot more fun to watch: if the Falcons win.
Falcons win. Absolutely.
Like, the rest of the day Sunday is so much more enjoyable if the Falcons do their job.
Got to take care of business.
If Penix just kind of has an okay game today, and then you have to watch those two guys play on Sunday Night Football, it's infuriating. But if he goes out there and has a great performance, then you could be like, oh, yeah, Penix did that earlier.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Penix made that throw. Oh, yeah, Mike can make that
throw. You start saying, like, oh, yeah, we beat them. You
know, exactly.
You start talking, eyeing up other teams.
Exactly. Falcons go out there and play a great game today, and Penix throws it all over the yard. You could talk yourself into anything, and it'll just make the rest of the day so much more fun. Packers and Lions, also an interesting NFC matchup today, 4:25. Packers obviously making the huge addition of Micah Parsons last week. I mean, they already were a really good team and won a lot of games last year. How much better did you feel like that made them?
A lot better. I mean, a lot better.
That changed sort of your thought on what they can do this year?
Yeah, I mean, well, now you consider them like Super Bowl, like they're going to be disappointed if they don't make a Super Bowl at this point, based on what they've added. I mean, to have Rashawn Gary and Parsons on either end, like those are like two premier pass rushers. That's so difficult to deal with.
But everybody always talks about the Philadelphia Eagles doing this, and they do more than anybody. Green Bay's got like six Georgia guys too.
Yeah.
They got
so
many guys on that side of the ball that played for the Georgia Bulldogs as well. So, that should be a fun one. And then Detroit, I mean, obviously has had a couple of really nice years, very un-Lions-like. The first year for them without those coordinators.
Right.
Their offensive coordinator is now the head coach in Chicago. Their defensive coordinator is now the head coach in New York with the Jets. And it's a big deal to replace guys like that.
Just saw this morning or last night that J-Mo Williams they gave him a 3-year deal.
So oh, really? Okay. Good for him.
So he got a 3-year extension there. So they believe in him, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
We'll get to as many of the other games as we can in the second hour of the show. Can you believe that, Joe? Hour number one's in the books.
Flies by.
It flies by when you're having fun. Hey, be sure to tune in later. Not only tune in, you're not going anywhere. Stay tuned later today for the Ticketmaster Halftime Show, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. We'll grab a break, come back with hour two. To lead off hour two, Joe is going to grace us with an injury report. He's going to let us know who's healthy and who's not. Coming up next on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.